This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Do you know of anybody else that does or did what you do for any other radio show?
I can't imagine there aren't people that do that. Actually, when I was trying to find, when Bean was doing the Richard Blade bonus episode, he asked me if I had any of his air checks from when he was on the air. And I didn't, unfortunately. And I thought for sure I had something, but I didn't. But I went online and there is still a lot of, you know, tape trading sites where people have audio from things. I have a handful of things since I've listened to KNX News my whole adult life. Like there is a peace signing in Israel or something. And there's a, you know, some other, you know, big deals where they had live broadcasts. I would record some stuff like that. But there are some tape trading sites that I feel like might, you know, lead me to things like the Scientology stuff. So there are people who definitely do that. Nobody that I know. I did want to mention as an aside, and I never was able to really listen to Stryker and Klein. I love Stryker, didn't like Klein. It was hard to listen to. It was upsetting because it was in the spot that should have been Kevin in the morning. But I started, my K-Rock recording just kept going because it's an online service. So I have the first however many months of that show in its infancy before they even started doing podcasts. So someday when that show becomes something that somebody wants, I've got these shows that were never made into podcasts. And I kept recording. Now that they actually have a podcast, I have been downloading that podcast just kind of for historical purposes. And it's like, if I had been able to record Kevin and Bean in the early days when it was terrible and it was nothing that was, you know, really worth recording, let alone, you know, I would love to be able to go back and, you know, correct that. So maybe someday Stryker and Klein, you know, the brief time Stryker and Klein did a show together in the morning might be of something of interest. So I have stuff like that.
I was just looking for like maybe a Rick Dees archive somewhere. No.
Well, imagine. I don't think many people knew, but I did for a couple of years have the Mark and Brian archive. Just the domain. And so if you put in markandbrianarchive.com, it just came to my site. And it was just like an inside joke that I forgot to share with anyone. I think I did tell Bean about it once.
Well, now it's out there.
Well, you know, awesome. I don't pay for it anymore. This is years ago. You know, this is closer to when Mark and Brian were still on the air. And then when Kevin in the Morning took over, I actually got Kevin in the Morning archive and had it, the archive. And now that I think about it, maybe I should look at getting Kevin and Sluggo archive. Sure. But anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You still get tapes and stuff from people or submissions of anything online, perhaps, or
I haven't in a while, but if I look back through, and I'm really bad with my Kevin and Bean archive email, especially since Ralph and Allie and Bean always have their daily, you know, emails saying that there's a new post or there's a new survey or a new this or a new that. And I can't figure out, it's a kind of an archaic email client. So I haven't been able to figure out how to filter through that. So I spent an hour the other day just kind of dragging things into folders manually. And so now I'm like, oh, these are the people I still need to get back to. People are searching for things. And somebody who had offered or said they think they have stuff. And I'm like, yeah, please, please, please. Somebody said they knew they had a bunch of cassettes and they were looking. So I'm hoping, you know, that will turn up something.
Nice.
So it's not as common, but, you know, it does occasionally happen. And I encourage it too. I also have many recordings that I haven't put anywhere because it's music and music and copyright and on demand and stuff is an issue. But I have many of the live Weenie Roast and Almost Acoustic Christmas. If they broadcast it live, I was able to record it. And back before I had mini discs to do the long form recording, I would record onto VHS cassette. So you just plug in the audio only from the radio. And so I have some cassettes of, like, you know, the 90s, you know, Acoustic Christmases and early 2000s stuff. So I don't know what to, I haven't edited that stuff. I think I might have done it once, but I got to figure out what to do with that. But it's something I'm going to be able to post for public consumption. So now there's just the questions I had for you, and just kind of an aside. somebody, you were guys were doing Kevin and Sluggo, and somebody made a comment about how they were using the phrase two for the crew, and they couldn't figure out what that background sound was, and it sounded like this or that, and it was actually the motorcycle that starts the song and it ends the song when they're driving away.
Okay.
Not a lot of big Motley Crue fans here, and I'm not a huge fan, but I know that song, and I'm like, that's the song.
You're not going to find a lot of Motley Crue fans in the Kevin and Bean universe.
No, I know. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I liked K-Rock music for a long time, and I think sometime in the 2000s I had kind of outgrown it or it went, you know, in different directions. You know, I did like Imagine Dragons and
Fireflies.
I do like those quirky things.
La Bamba, you know, the classics.
No, who sang when Kevin sang Kerosene?
The Interrupters.
Thank you.
Interrupters.
Really like them so much that I can't remember their name when I need to pull it up. But you know, that's just aging, I guess. But that KLOS. I mean, I was listening to KLOS, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. And I grew up on that stuff, and you know, I love all those bands. I don't like hearing them all the time. And I don't even listen to them all the time. But every time I edit and there's another Motley Crue, there's another Pink Floyd, there's another Van Halen. And sometimes they'll play the same artist twice, you know. And I know it's radio when people are in their cars flipping around. And that's, you know, how radio works. But it's crazy that, you know, this is stuff I like, but I don't even want to hear it.
The last couple of Kevin and Sluggo clips ended with an AC/DC song coming in.
Yes.
That we played.
Yes. Well, it's funny how that works.
And I feel like K-Rock always had these random things that they brought in, and I never really understood why they were playing songs. Like, if I can remember, like, the Avicii song, that's completely off-brand, in my opinion. Or, like, even when they were playing Eminem, I'm thinking, like, this is a rap song. Like, I don't understand. So it was always these little things peppered in. And then towards the end, and they're up Billie Eilish's ass. And I thought, like, what? This doesn't seem K-Rock at all. Although no criticism there, because I like Billie Eilish. But I was kind of like, this. It seems to be a weird, like, one-offs that now they're just like kicking into high gear.
Well, I have some limited knowledge of that kind of stuff, just having been involved in college radio my whole adult life at UCI. But I had two friends in the 90s who both applied for the music director job at K-Rock that Lisa Warden, their longtime music director, eventually got. But a couple of my friends, you know, had gone up there and interviewed and stuff. But, you know, I just know that there are two possibilities. One, that they're trying to expand and see what else they can do to attract more listeners or different listeners. And the other part is there seems to be a lot of pressure from the record, you know, labels. There used to be a deal where I think like Mondays, the music director would see people from the label who wanted to come in your face and push this, you know, new song from this new artist or this, you know, artist. So, you know, I don't know how much that worked on stuff versus the research, but there are a lot of things that go on behind that. And, you know, to the average listener, or even to me, it's like, this just doesn't make sense. And I know that there's a reason they do it. It's not like they just like, oh, what's in the mail today? Let's put this on. Oh, okay. You know, it's, there's something behind it, but it often to the average listener or to the faithful listener doesn't make sense. Like, you know, Limp Bizkit, or I think did K-Rock used to play Kid Rock, I think, in the early days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And they were the first to play Tone Loc and The Wild Thing. I remember hearing that on the radio, like, what?
You know, it's interesting because I don't remember what year that would have been, but I had in my early days at KUCI in like 86 or 87, he came up and did an interview at KUCI. And it was a couple of years later when he actually released that album. It's like, oh, anyway, he brought Tone Loc and brought back my Tone Loc feelings.
Did you post on our Instagram about a favorite Trube memory?
I put Kiss in 92 and they did a warm-up show. You actually just reminded me of something I hadn't thought about in 25 years. I had not at the Trube, but at a local bar, sports bar, a tiki bar in Costa Mesa. I played with the band that I was auditioning for. And I don't remember, I must have known it was an audition. I remember seeing them play and the guy saying, okay, meet us at the warehouse, we'll practice, then we'll. And so I played one time with them and nothing ever happened because I don't remember anything after that. Will not surprise you, but I have a spreadsheet, a database of my concerts that I've gone to in the last 40 years. And there's like, you know, 660 or so now. So I've been to most of these venues. sing Kiss at the Troubadour, and there are a few other artists there, but you know, the Palace has been wonderful. The Wiltern, but the Hollywood Palace, though, I saw Nirvana there when Nevermind came out before they kind of hit. But one of my favorite memories is at the Palladium, when Sonic Youth played, and their opener was Nirvana. So see Nirvana when they're an opening band, and to, you know, kind of look back in that arc of their career was just pretty crazy. I've been fortunate enough to, you know, have a lot of those little stories of, you know, like I saw the Goo Goo Dolls in 88 playing a bar in Huntington Beach on a Sunday night, and there were 8 people in the audience.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was like one of those deals where all the, you know, the opening bands bring their family or friends, and then they all bail, and the, you know, the Goo Goo Dolls was not a household name by far, and so stuff like that. And then back in, you know, the early 90s, KUCI had the benefit of having you know, Sublime and No Doubt. One of the many bands I was in the 90s with other friends, we were in a punk band, and we played this Mexican restaurant in Garden Grove on a Tuesday night. And we got a chance, you know, we play anywhere, you know, if you're a garage band, you take any chance. And we ended up, we were opening for Sublime. And that was back when Sublime was actually just known as like this sort of like reggae band that, you know, people didn't really think of them as punk. But I remember sitting around watching them after we played, like, yeah, this is not for me. These guys aren't going to go anywhere. I didn't say that, but still, some of these stories that I forgot about. So anyway, so the Palace and the Wiltern, and especially those shows at the Palace. But, you know, I got to see Iron Maiden and Anthrax and other bands like that at the Palace. I saw Elastica at the Palace. Is that possible? Have I thought about Elastica in the last 25 years? No.
That Garden Grove restaurant.
Yes.
I think there was a famous restaurant in Garden Grove. It was a Mexican restaurant that was like a hangout back in the day for like No Doubt. Was that the one?
I bet there are more than one. There's probably more than one.
It was one that they were known to go to all the time. I just wondered if that was the same one.
I don't think so. This was like a family restaurant, and they did happen to have a stage, but it, you know, it was probably for more, you know, traditional Mexican music. And then just one night a week when they hardly had anybody there, they would let, you know, the bands. I don't know if I'll have to talk to them. I don't. And I've been in the area where I feel like it was, and either it's not there anymore or I'm misremembering it. And I'm, you know, I'm still Facebook friends with the singer, and I'll have to reach out to him sometime and ask him some questions. I'm sure he won't remember either, because that was probably 90 years. The other thing I want to mention about my website is keeping other things, you know, like the snippets, you're aware that I occasionally post hundreds of little things that I pull from the shows, you know, something that somebody says, you know, all the times Kevin struggled. I don't know if you remember, but I put together a, I don't know, like a 3-minute montage of Bean inhaling every time you turn on the mic and inhale. And you know, he said, oh, I don't do that. And I'm like, here you go. And then there was another time, did I do a montage of the vomiting? Probably not that, but similar things. And then
I did.
Okay.
Vomit. Maybe. Yeah.
That got funnier and funnier to me, actually.
It did. And then they had the comedy Llama, which was a thing in 2017. And I wish I had paid more attention to the beginning of the A Bag in the Desert bit, when Bean was going to be put in a bag in the desert, and Ralph just ran with that. And it just got funnier. And they're going to, you know, oh, Allie, there's going to be 2 bags in the desert, and, you know, or we can share 1 bag and all that stuff. And every once in a while, Bean would realize when he had crossed Roger Lakes, I know, a bag in the desert. But those opening, you know, audio montages that Bean did, I love those, obviously. And I got, you know, several years worth of him putting some of my favorites like Coop Delicious and Nick the sign holder. I'm going to get so I like to. But I have thousands of those. I kept those just because I love those. I love what he did, and I love clips in general. And so I have in a separate folder. I think I had taken some of them down, but I've got enough space. I'm going to put them all back up. And then just all the little things, the theme songs, Omar theme songs. And one year I put together all 60 something of the theme songs he had made. And so all those little things I like to do as well. That's, you know, I enjoy having people be able to listen to whatever they want, but then some of that's more for me. I should say, I always enjoyed LaQuisha too. I just see LaQuisha's name pop up here. So that was another thing.
They like shortened that towards the end. Ralph did, and he would just say like bag, desert, and everybody would just understand what he was saying. Yeah. Or like I said most recently, like to Christopher, I will end you. And that is exactly what Ralph
yes.
was, a direct quote from Ralph Garman.
Yes, and I need to use that in my day-to-day life because that's so perfect.
Oh, I've started saying it at work too, and people are like, what are you talking about?
Do you guys ever
I
do
will
this?
End you. That, yes, that.
Do you guys ever remember where you were when you heard something on the show? Meaning, like, I can think of a, you know, if it was not like a showbiz beat, but it was like, you know, I remember being by the washing machine when they had the burp the alphabet contest and the guy had created that drop, but oh, I just threw up. And, you know, there was a prom disaster and I was, you know, working out in the backyard and I went around this particular corner when Money was talking to the guy who was, you know, Mr. Mustache Club or something like that. So there's just so many things and I don't, there was a few examples that come to mind, but if I happen to be listening to something old, I'll remember, oh yeah, I remember I was driving to work on this. Or I'm, you know, so it's interesting, like, you know, how you make these kind of connections to these audio memories, but you just capture where you are and you make that connect. I don't know. Sorry.
I got one.
Yeah.
I was, this was one of the first things I ever submitted. So this was early on in the email game. So I thought, hey, if I can email the guys, I'll send them in something. So I made a montage. This was about the Clippers. So I sent it in to Bean and Kevin. And I still remember I was getting on the 5 freeway. And Kevin starts off, oh, we got this thing from a listener. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to play my thing. I don't remember who it is, though. I'd lost the email. I'm like, I'm almost driving off the road. So I still remember that day. I was getting on the 5 freeway, and Kevin sandbagged me. Thanks, Kevin. I'm bringing that up when you come on, Kevin.
The two that I can recall are Ralph getting fired and being in a work parking lot, hearing that and being devastated. And then the most recent, I think it was either the most recent or like maybe a few years ago, the Halloween one where they both did, they played the So Much Crappier song and they did the gargling incident. And I remember being at home for both of those and just losing my shit.
So many good things.
Christopher, Jen?
Sorry. Let's see. I remember when Ralph was talking about Lincoln. I think that one really hit me really hard. And I know I was just about ready to leave and about to turn off the stereo in my house. And then I was like, oh, I had to stay. I had to just stop and just listen to the whole thing. I remember a lot of times, though, there was just hilarious moments where I would just pull into the parking lot. And I would be late, like maybe 5 minutes, just because I had to finish a bit. That's the one that I always remember as being like just a really sad moment. And just, I guess those are the kind of things that stick with you, is the tragic moments a lot of the times.
Yeah, sadly so.
Yeah. So one I remember, it was March 2008. I'm going to say March 4th or 5th. And I was working in Colorado in an office building where you have like a cubicle, so you don't have like your own office or anything. And I'm streaming K-Rock. And it was great because Colorado was an hour ahead, so I got an earlier version of it. And over the weekend, they had a Laker game and the Los Angeles Marathon. So evidently parking downtown was a nightmare. Anything downtown that day was a nightmare. And I want to say it was a day game, so they kind of overlapped, whatever. Oh, my, Ralph losing his shit that day. I sat in that office. I start laughing so hard and I'm trying to be quiet because I know everyone can hear. Everyone else around me starts laughing. They're like, what are you listening to? But how do you explain that to people in Colorado that don't understand? Yeah. And that's kind of burned into my head.
I agree with you. The number of times, first of all, living in Atlanta, the number of times that I've had to kind of like randomly explain what I'm listening to or what I'm doing to people is really funny. But also, like, the first few years of my job, I worked in a cubicle and everyone else was quiet. So I have a lot of memories of like hearing certain things and being in my cubicle and laughing and getting in a lot of trouble because I made so much noise.
Do we all remember where we were when we heard the penis sickle story?
Yeah, I was walking back into the house and I stopped by the washer over here. Yeah, I totally remember that.
I don't, but I've listened to it so many times now.
I remember getting ready for high school and turning on the radio and going, who the fuck are these guys? And it was Kevin and Bean. It was the 90s. It was their very first show that I heard. I remember going, because I remember it was Richard Blade in the mornings. And then when I came off of vacation, Christmas vacation, I turned on the radio and I was like, wait, who the hell are these guys? And they were just playing, you know, they were just talking and all other stuff. And I thought it was hilarious, but I thought it was very weird because they were very uncomfortable at first.
Yes.
And they were very campy and like, you know, but I tuned in a lot for the new detective and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
John Frost was amazing.
Yeah.
I have a question that will lead into a question I want to ask each of you is, how did you first discover Kevin and Bean, and how did you first discover my website?
How did I discover the website was basically Kevin and Bean talking about it.
So I listened to Kevin and Bean on the way to high school every morning, which was an hour. So I'm from Manhattan Beach and I went to Notre Dame Academy, which is in West LA. So our commute was about an hour and I would just listen to the one little piece. And then cut to, I moved to Atlanta in 2009 and was trying to like find remnants of my, of LA to kind of like assuage my homesickness. And, I found your website first. And then I realized that I could also stream in the morning. And the nice thing about East Coast time is it was between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. So it was basically half of the workday that I could listen to the Kevin and Bean show and then listen to your stream. And it actually became a huge thing between my then boyfriend and myself that when we would take these cross-country road trips and we would listen to clips that you had provided. And when you talk about the showbiz beat, like that was one thing that I put my foot in the sand on was that like, I would listen to all five. And so it like your site became like a really formidable part of our relationship and my like young adult life. I could start crying about it if I talk about it. So someone else talk.
Cool.
This would have been about 93, I suppose. I clean pools and my little sister would go with me on Fridays to clean pools. So she was about 13. So here I was a square back then. I listened to like, remember KMPC with Gary Owens?
Yeah.
Couldn't be more bland pop stuff. So she's like, we got to listen to K-Rock because she wanted to be like her big sisters. So I'd go, okay. So I put Kevin and Bean on and I would say half the time I was just tuning it away. Remember they did a thing called What's in Doc's Butt? Yeah. I'm sitting there with my little 13-year-old sister. What's in Doc's Butt? I'm like, Kristen, no. And I would change it. And then I eventually became obsessed and she teases me about that till this day. She's like, I got you into that. You owe me. And so now I'm doing a podcast about Kevin and Bean all these years later. I just remember because I'm like you, I'm an audio enthusiast. And they're like, we can't find this clip. Where is it? Oh, let's check with Kevin Stockdale. So they would check with you. And I'm like, this guy's my man. Oh, that reminds me another thing I had to tell you. I mean, for a while, I was on a big roll. I would get clips on Kevin and Bean all the time. I'd get emails read by Ralph. And I'm like, I'm Kevin and Bean's number one fan. Then I went to your site and I'm like, holy crap. I'm playing for number two. It's over. So I'm not worthy, Kevin. You're the man.
Well, you had more interactions with them on the air with all the content and all the emails. I was always impressed by that. But thank you.
Now, once I saw your website, I even told my wife, I'm like, I thought I was number one. No chance.
So I moved to Los Angeles in 1996, but I waited tables till about 2001. So I would listen, I would flip on the radio like you do. And so then 2001, I started working in offices. And so then I started listening to K-Rock in the morning. It was just such a good show, but you know, if they played Chili Peppers, I'd switch it, whatever. So then I was streaming a lot because I'd moved away. So I'm wondering, I can't say how I found your website, but it could have been me just searching Kevin and Bean. Because I know by the time I moved back to LA in 2010, I was fully aware of it. But then maybe it was from Kevin and Bean. I don't really know. I just remember searching for stuff to find with Kevin and Bean because of my obsession. So I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you did. And there was a stretch of time, and I haven't checked lately, but if you put in Kevin and Bean in Google, my site was like someplace on the first page, yeah. Despite all those spam emails I get about, you know, search engine optimization or whatever. Right. But
yeah, you don't need
but,
it.
So I grew up in the same town as Lindsay. So same thing. My parents would let us pick the station in the morning. And so I would pick K-Rock and it would be Kevin and Bean. And if my conservative Lutheran school mother would not approve of quite a lot of the things that they would have, but still kind of turned her around. And I found your site years ago when I moved to Australia, and I couldn't get the show. And between I had friends that would stream it to me, I would go on your site and would they found my way past the corporate ad block and would go ahead. And that's how I would catch up on it and stay informed. So
very cool. While you guys were sharing those stories, I had two other thoughts about things that you will probably remember and appreciate. But remember when they had a relationship with Ryan Seacrest and when he was on his meteoric rise?
Yeah.
And then they gave him a hard time. And then Ryan Seacrest thought he was going to be fired once. So he was trying to talk them up to, you know, hire him to be on the show or something. But
yeah, actually, I remember that very well. They were talking about having ratings meeting, and actually both K-Rock and Kiss FM aired versions of this interview with each other. And at the end, Ryan Seacrest like jokes like, oh, who are those guys again? And then I think Kevin and Bean had a similar thing, but it was about ratings meetings and the fact that they were always in these meetings where people were saying like, your ratings need to be better. And Ryan Seacrest was like, my rating, we're number one. And Kevin and Bean are like, yeah, we're like right behind you. Basically, we were just in one of these meetings. So yeah, that was a funny thing.
I also enjoyed all the hate for Rick Dees over the years. That will always make for good radio. And I ended up meeting him occasionally, use it as my my image on social media, but there was like an opening of something. I think it was a kids radio station at UC Irvine's hospital and UCI Medical Center. And like, holy cow. And I'm like, trying to back away. I'm like, I, you know, and I remember standing off to another place and he got closer to me and he came up there and introduced himself. And he was the nicest guy. I'm like, wait, you're not the guy they're talking about. You must be a different guy. But the other thing that brings me great joy is to think back. You remember when Doc and Lisa had to carpool for whatever reason and Lisa recorded him and they played that? All the things they did. Oh, and how about Kevin Annoys You?
Oh, yeah, how about
that? Yeah.
Or the leaf blower
into leaf the blower. Office, right? Yeah.
Or how about probably the all-time classic is the bathroom interviews.
Oh, those were so great.
We need to bring that segment back for our podcast.
Did they talk about that on the B team?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.